Take us with you wherever you go. UCB Ireland.
Guys, I've got Nick Park with me on the show today. Nick, great to have you.
Tim, yeah, good to be with you again.
So good. Nick, the last time we were chatting, we chatted about the war.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, a huge topic for the church to be talking about. I've been going through my head for since the last time we spoke, Nick. And a poem has popped into my head. I dabbled in a kind of every now and again. I love to write. I love to journal. And every now and again, I kind of, you know, get these little like poems. And so a couple of years ago, a mutual friend of ours, Mr. Linus, died. Norman. And so the day of his funeral, I drove up the North Coast. And as I was driving up the North Coast, I thought I'll take a little bit of a variation, and I went to Benone. I was driving from Omagh up to Coleraine, and went up the coast, and I stood on the kind of section of Benone Beach in the northwest of Ireland that overlooks onto the Inishowen, you know, onto Donegal, and I remember writing these words: "And when I stop and look at the work of your hand, your glory and majesty I see. You created a playground for me to be, for me to see, so that all of your glory I would be." And I think that when I'm looking at the world and when I'm looking at this beautiful environment, this playground that God has designed for us to thrive in, I wonder to myself, what could we as the church do better in terms of stewarding this beautiful playground, this environment, this world that God has created for us to thrive in? It's a huge topic. I get frustrated at times when I drive past some of the larger food chains in my local area and I see the clutter that is lying around, and I think to myself, that's surely not good stewardship. Yeah. And then I think about, you know, how we even celebrate the environment that God has given us, and I wonder to myself, are we even stewarding our praise and our worship well when we think about the world that God has given us? And so I wanted to kind of pick your brain and get a couple of thoughts on just creation itself, Nick.
Yeah, I mean, I'll meet your poem with a song by a mutual friend of ours, that the first lines are, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the earth his handiwork," because you know, Psalm 19 and David, just really laying it out there that the creation. I mean, we live in a fallen creation. There's no doubt about that. I like to think of it this way, that the God's greatest creation is actually the Church of Jesus Christ. That, you know, if we take seriously Colossians and Ephesians, we're going to spend all eternity as the church being the ultimate expression of God's glory for all the principalities and powers for all eternity. But we're under construction. So we're like a construction site, and you have to use your imagination to see what it's going to look like. It's like going to Barcelona. And, you know, going to the Sagrada Familia, that amazing church that's under construction, and there's noise and the scaffolding and bits are blocked off and, you know, dust everywhere. But you can tell it's going to be beautiful. Well, that's the church now. But the second greatest creation after that is this universe in which we live. And really, it is, it's been marred. It's suffered through the fall. And so this one I would compare to like going to Ephesus and walking among the ruins in Ephesus. You can see these amazing buildings that the Apostle Paul preached in front of. And, you know, you can tell they used to be amazing. They're still beautiful, but you have to use your imagination to think what they used to be like. And so that's where we are with creation. We've got this, you know, we have to use our imagination for what the church is going to look like, but we have to use our imagination. What did creation once look like? And then we need to say, okay, what is the role of the church to do with creation? And I guess it's because with the season that's in it, and we've just been through the whole thing with everything green for Patrick's Day and all of that. And the Celtic Church strongly believed that the church is there to share the gospel, and the gospel redeems men, but also redeems creation. So we're not just about saving souls, but we're also supposed to redeem the creation in line with Romans chapter 8, verse 19, that speaks about all creation waits in eager expectation. Or what one translation says, all creation is standing on tiptoe, waiting to see what the church is going to be. And so I think that Celtic idea is one that particularly the church in Ireland should be taking seriously when it comes to caring for God's creation.
I think, and I'm probably going to take this down an avenue that we hadn't intended on taking it down, but it's in my head because my algorithm for Instagram and Facebook is littered, Nick, with anything to do with dogs and Labradors. And I heard somebody, take something that was definitely taken out of context, but got my attention. And we know that God can use anything and everything, and I'm aware that this particular thing, and I'm not even going to say what it was taken out of context, but what it highlighted to me is that my love for my animals, my dogs, is actually a reflection of my love for God. If I understand the created world being everything within the created world, and so my relationship with the earth matters, my relationship with the sea matters, my relationship with humanity matters, but also then my relationship with the animals mattered as well. And like, our dogs are loved more than our children sometimes, if I'm being honest with you. They sleep in the bed with me and Jenny, and they are loved to within an inch of their lives. And I wonder to myself if that is a reflection of my relationship with the Father, but also a mirror image of the Father's relationship with me, as it's outworked, then we might be doing okay.
Look, I'm a dog owner myself. I've got two old English sheepdogs, big Dulux dogs. Now, I have to say, if they slept in the bed, then there wouldn't be room for me and Janice. They're huge. But no, I get what you're saying. And you know what? I do think we need to understand and enjoy God's creation as a gift from God. Janice and I were out in we were recently in Paris or in France at a conference. We were in the city of Lille. We went out for lunch in this little restaurant, and we sat there, and suddenly Janice says, "These flowers beside us, they're plastic." And I'm looking at them thinking, "Yeah, they are, aren't they?" And what had proved really attractive suddenly felt very different, because there's something about having real living plants and having a plastic imitation that's just not the same, Look, we do have a problem sometimes in the church, particularly in evangelical Christianity, where people basically say, "Well, you don't need to worry about creation." That wanting to care for creation, wanting to look after the planet that we live on and everything else is it's either it's a Chinese hoax or it's sure God sure it's all going to be burned up anyway. Which, yeah, you know what? We care about lots of things. I mean, I care for my car, but I know it's going to be scrap in a few years' time. I love my family, but you know what? There's a day coming when they're going to be dust, their bodies anyway. But I still care for them and still look after them and still try to get the most from it and care for it. So I think that we have a problem, I think, because sometimes as Christians, we've fallen into this trap of dividing everything into one camp or the other. There's a conservative camp and there's a liberal camp. And because the conservative camp aligns with certain deeply held values that we have on gender, on the life of the unborn and things like that, we sometimes then just uncritically feel that we've got to embrace the whole conservative package. But the conservative package, some of it has been developed by special interest groups, by people who make a lot of money from the oil industry and stuff like that. And I think this has been a casualty of that. We as Christians need to look at a thing and say, what's right and what's wrong? And we started looking at things and asking, what's right and what's left? And then we embrace the right package. And that includes often a dismissive attitude to the planet, to creation, to the beauty of what God has placed around us.
I think there's a lot of people in the church too, Nick, and not I'm not a church basher. I love the church. I love the bride. I believe that, as followers of Jesus Christ, we are co-heirs. We are brothers and sisters. But I do think it's fair to say that, there are things that I get wrong, and there are things that other people in the church get wrong as well. And one of the things is this idea that we can't have an understanding of science and spirituality and that the two can't coexist. And so there's a lot of scientific evidence that suggests that the world is in a certain state because of how we have mistreated it, how we have used the creativity that God has given us to make life easier for us, but it has had a detrimental effect on various aspects of the created world. And I feel like, and I'm very happy to be wrong in this, but I do feel like there's a lot of of our brothers and sisters who are burying their head in the sand and ignoring the science about the created world that we find ourselves in.
I think we have this human tendency to understand things in a way that suits our existing understanding of things. So, for example, even with the Bible, you can make the Bible say whatever you want it to say if you're determined enough. And I remember reading once that Gordon Fee, a great Pentecostal Bible scholar with the Assemblies of God in the US, remember Gordon Fee saying, I think it was in his one of his commentaries, possibly on Corinthians, but he said that Christians have a tendency to take the Bible and to say, how can I use this verse to support my belief on this doctrine? Instead of saying, what does this scripture actually say? And I think we do that. We sometimes approach science and say, okay, how does this scientific data suit my view of things? And then we come up with a totally wrong idea. Well, we've got to be more objective than that, And I think there is a lot of science out there that does say that our actions are harming God's creation. And those effects are devastating on people living in the poorest parts of the world. So the people that are suffering the most, from changes in the climate and everything else, they tend to be the people who are already living on the edge of starvation. And that is something that we should reflect on as Christians and say, rather than just propping up what I want to believe on this, what's actually going on and what should be a biblical response to this?
Yeah, it's clearly obvious when there are people in the world who don't have clean drinking water. There's something that we need to pay attention to when there are children who we have all seen, no doubt, on television and various different documentaries and some other news outlets that they're playing, their playgrounds are rubbish dumps. Like something tells me that our stewardship hasn't been the best. So, Nick, I suppose the question is, what does good stewardship look like in the created in a created world?
Well, I think good stewardship should, first of all, it's got to be grounded in scripture, not in airy-fairy spirituality, because there is a false spirituality, and I think that turns a lot of people off. There's a false spirituality that basically worships creation and is built in, new age foundations and ideas, and that's obviously something that we don't. So I heard somebody put it this way. They said that basically our approach to creation is not inclusive. We don't just suck all everything in to do with creation, including all the junk ideas and everything else. It's actually exclusive. It's saying that the church are God's chosen people, and as such, we have a special responsibility based on God's revelation in His Word to care for the world. And there's no doubt that in the Old Testament, I mean, I've been doing a weekly study on Isaiah recently, doing it a verse at a time, what chapter each week, and reading a lot of the prophecies of Isaiah. They prophesy, Isaiah prophesies about the children of Israel returning from captivity and returning back to their land again after the Babylonian captivity. And side by side with the people returning to the land is the idea that the land itself is going to flourish, that the desert's going to bloom, that God's going to release streams in the desert and the places that have been laid waste and such like. And so it goes hand in hand, this idea of people being redeemed and that bringing a blessing upon the creation that is round about us. So I think that's the sort of standpoint that we've got to come from as Christians.
We live in a world that God has given us to enjoy his presence, that God has given us to enjoy his provision, that God has given us to enjoy his protection, and that God has given us to enjoy his purpose in and through. And we see that in the outworking of the creation story. We see that in the outworking of both the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And I suppose our convenience in the 21st century has probably, in many ways, led us to live in this kind of detrimental kind of society that is hugely impacting creation, the created world, and even how we respond to our creator.
I mean, convenience and true servanthood, true stewardship is sacrificial. And I think that includes caring for the creation of, caring for God's creation. It is sacrificial. Yeah, I remember I used to think the Germans were nuts because they had green bins and black bins instead of just throwing everything in the one bin. And I was dismissive about that. And now, heck, we got a green bin and a black bin and a brown bin and a bottle bank, the bin for the bottles outside my house. But I think of other things. I think I can remember when here in the Republic, every hedgerow was full of torn bits of plastic bags. And they brought in a tax on plastic bags. And that's made Ireland a more beautiful and more enjoyable place to live. And I speak that as somebody who lives in the countryside and walks along a country lane with my dogs twice a day. And it's made it much more attractive. And but you know what? There is a sacrifice involved in that. How many times do you turn up in the store and realize you forgot to bring a bag and I've dropped things in the car park and everything coming out of Aldi. And then I mean, I think of the coal. We've got a ban on old smoky coal now in the Republic. And I'll be honest with you, I like a coal fire. I love sitting in front of a coal fire. And the smokeless coal, it's not the same. It doesn't burn the same way. I don't like it as much. But the fact is, people were dying. It's not just that the air was a little bit dirtier. People were dying, a number of people every year in Ireland because of airborne pollution. And that's been reduced. It's saved lives. And that should be worth making a sacrifice, even if I much preferred the smoky coal.
Yeah, well, I think scripture is very clear. Greater love has no man
Yeah, then he
than
laid down
anyone
his
who would
coal
lay
for his
his life for his
friends.
friend, in the best possible sense. But the I suppose the bigger teaching in that is the standard of love is sacrifice. And if we want to love the environment, then the created world, then there's an element of sacrifice. If we want to love each other, there's an element of sacrifice, and because of the greatest sacrifice, we can love the Lord, because he loved us first, and that's a really beautiful thing. And so I suppose let's enjoy the created world, celebrate the created world, and worship the Creator because of those things.
Amen.
Brilliant stuff. Nick, as always, great to see you, my friend.
Good to see
And
you. Till next time, Tim.
always a privilege to have you on and to chat the chats. And so look forward to seeing you again sometime soon.
Amen. God bless you.
God bless you, my friend. God bless.
Faith Inspiring Radio. This is UCB Ireland.